Welcome to Teach Outdoors, the podcast that brings you inspiration and ideas for taking your teaching outside. Together, we'll explore the benefits of learning outside the classroom, share tips and tricks for successful outdoor teaching, and hear from educators who are making a difference in the lives of their students through outdoor experiences. Join us as we dive into the world of teaching outdoors and discover new ways to engage and inspire the next generation. I'm Lauren McLean, mother of two young ones, author of Me and My Sit Spot, teacher, and outdoor classroom enthusiast. I'm grateful to be living, learning, playing, and raising my family on the traditional and unceded lands, waters, and skies of the Kuikwetlem First Peoples. All right, welcome back to the Teach Outdoors podcast. I'm your host, Lauren McLean, and we've got a great episode for you today. David Hawker Bydlowski has worked for the Toronto District School Board for the past 25 years. He started as an elementary teacher in Scarborough, as a primary school gym teacher, classroom teacher for grades 2, 4, and 5, and taught outdoor education at the Island Natural Science School before becoming a school administrator. David is currently the centrally assigned principal supporting outdoor education in the TDSB. So, hi, David. Thank you so much for joining us. Would you like to tell us a bit more about your contacts, the land, the place you're coming from?
Thank you so much, Lauren, for having me. It's such a treat. I love talking about how we're supporting the students to get outside in the Toronto District School Board. The TDSB is the largest school board in Canada, the fifth largest in North America. So we're talking about a very large and diverse urban population. Mm-hmm. We don't have swaths and swaths of untouched nature all over, but we are a city within a park. We have so much green space. We're very, very fortunate. So here we are on the territories of the Anishinaabe, of the Mississaugas of the Anishinaabe, also known as the Mississaugas of the Credit, also territories of the Wendat and the Haudenosaunee Confederacy over time, with many Métis and Inuit peoples living on this land. And we're so privileged to have the opportunity to live and work in this space. Most of this territory is within the Dish With One Spoon wampum, but also the Toronto Purchase and Williams Treaty lands. We're so lucky with outdoor education to take so much of what the world and the land has to offer us to just expose people to the natural world. And I think I have the best job in the world, along with my staff, to get to take staff and students outside every single day. In the TDSB, we have 9 outdoor education centers that we run as a school board. 4 of those are day centers where students come just for the day to engage in curriculum connected learning. Everything from K to 12, supporting leadership, team building, the arts, survival skills, supporting specialist high skills major in secondary schools, and Native arts and culture supports as well. There's so much rich programming at our day centers.
Are the day centers run by teachers, or is that sort of a bit separate, outside organizers that are outdoor educators but not technically have their education diplomas?
A great question. So the staff at the outdoor education centers are permanent staff of the Toronto District School Board, and we have 2 different job categories. Those capital T teachers and then outdoor education specialists. These are considered support staff. They come from a diverse range of backgrounds, a whole host of interests, knowledges, and skills that they bring. And some of them are certified teachers, but have made the conscious choice to be outdoor educators. Right. So it's really a phenomenal group of staff that I get to work with every day.
Wonderful. Thank you. And then you've got another program you were talking about.
Those are our day centers where we see 10 classes a day between those four different sites right within the city proper. Beyond those four day centers, we have five overnight centers. And those that are familiar with the geography of Southern Ontario, they're spread out. Are in the south, we have a site at the Toronto Island. That's where I taught in the early 2000s. And then the rest kind of flow north of the city from the Oak Ridges Moraine and right into the Muskokas. At our furthest north, the Scarborough Outdoor Education School is right on the edge of Algonquin Park. So quite a large territory. And for those centers, we target our grade six students to have an overnight trip, either 2, 3, or 4 days where they're engaged in outdoor programming from 8 in the morning till 8 at night, a morning, afternoon, evening program. They stay on site, have their meals together, and it's just such an incredible growth opportunity. Beyond these amazing opportunities of taking kids out into nature, we also have an initiative called Support to Schools. And in our department, we have two outdoor education learning coaches who actually go into schools over the year and work directly with those classroom teachers, thinking of different ideas how they can take learning outside. It's not about going in and running outdoor ed programming. It's more, Lauren, what are you doing in math next week? Let's talk about it. And then how can we take that math learning outdoors in different ways? And those are supports, kindergarten through grade eight classes that we're in. We're 18 different schools this year.
I love hearing about those type of programs because I think it's incredible that you have these day camps and these overnight camps, but hearing that you also have supports and resources in place that can go to the schools that might not have the means to afford or get the buses organized to leave their school sites. So you also have resources for inside the school. So you've got two educators that do that.
And
Amazing.
so I want to interrupt just for a quick second because you talked about the kids going to camps. You struck a chord with me. We
Ooh.
run outdoor education centers,
Thank
and
you.
like I indicated, we have the Hillside Outdoor Education School, the Scarborough Outdoor Education School, and our department is called the Toronto Outdoor Education Schools. We see a difference between camp and school. I do a lot of work with the Ontario Camps Association. It's a very important group. They do incredible things, but do want to distinguish between schools and camps. Our core business is September to June. The programming that we deliver is all connected to the Ontario curriculum because when teachers come to visit us, we want those teachers to see the value that of what they've done and that they can take that and add it to their mark book, use it for their assessment and evaluation, and reporting back to parents. Outdoor ed isn't something that happens out there and only in that place, but supports the learning, the core classroom learning every single day.
Completely. And I think vocabulary is super important. So when we talk about in my specific context, we're going to go visit our outdoor classroom, our garden classroom, our forest classroom. We are very intentional about using those words as well because it is an extension of what we're doing inside already. So I really appreciate that.
And just to pull on what you were saying about the opportunities in schools, those are teachers working with teachers in a collaborative co-teaching stance. The programming that we do at our outdoor education centers, we do offer those programs in schools and local schoolyards. So if transportation is a barrier, this is something that shifted about 4 years ago. If you can't come to us by bus, but you want this opportunity, we will do those programs in schools. And as much as the pandemic really put a damper on things, Ontario had some of the longest school closures and lockdowns in the entire world. Our department really shifted and pivoted, to use the language of the day, that when kids couldn't come to us, we went to them and we were exploring those local green spaces and doing some of the programming that we think we're really good at, right in those local spaces. And what's great about that is, again, exposing those teachers of what's possible right in their own backyard. The other piece is the students are the experts of their local community. So often as teachers, we're the ones that are commuting to get to school.
Yeah.
But those kids, they know the history of who lived in that house and what's happening there, or in that apartment building or that laneway, or the animals that frequent that dumpster, and all this. And it's just, it allows the students to have such voice and agency in their own learning. When we get out of our turf, the classroom, four walls, and into their turf, the community. So I think that's really important, in centering the student in the learning.
It is. And I think to build on this idea, this theme of community engagement, how else does, I mean, I know your Toronto school district is so massive, so it might be hard to answer some of these questions, but how does the district engage with the local community to support these different outdoor learning initiatives?
A few different ways. So first of all, I think the easiest thing to talk about is the Support to Schools initiative.
Mm-hmm.
For the teachers that are working embedded in those schools, we're working with the school principals to make sure that they're communicating with their communities about this learning, the expectations of going outside on a regular basis, why we're doing this, all the connections, and engaging that transformative work into the school improvement plans, so that this is done with intention and not a one-off. And for the one to two teachers that we're working with in that school, the expectation is that those teachers are sharing with their colleagues this idea of pollination and sharing the ideas, and opening up those co-teaching spaces to other teachers that want to see the learning that can take place in the outdoors. So that's very specific within the Support to Schools initiative. As a district, we also support our parent involvement committee. We, in the fall conference for the Parents and Partners as Caregivers conference, we actually opened some of our sites to parents to come visit, so that they got to see what it looks like. What do we do? Again, demystifying what happens at these outdoor ed centers, because with so many new Canadians, they don't understand what this is all about.
Yes.
And for many new Canadians that are leaving just awful circumstances, why would they be going out into the woods? They want to come inside to that shelter and comfort. And so how do we break that down, that this isn't about taking away the luxuries and safeties of what we're used to in home, but looking at what are safe opportunities and learnings that can happen outside? And, you know, it's the middle of winter right now. It can be miserable in parts of Canada at times. Yeah. And so how do we embrace that and engage that? And for teachers that are new to taking their kids outside, you know, don't go out at the end of November in the rain for the first time. You're not going to get buy-in. Start in September, where it's still beautiful and sunny, and you get going outside in very low risk environments, and then build the resilience and the routine that comes along with that. And in Ontario, we're so fortunate with the four seasons being so clear.
Yeah.
You know, even in the primary grades, it's easy. Just go outside and look at the change of seasons in your community and track that over time. It's amazing learning.
Yeah. And to sort of layer onto this idea of starting in September, that's when we're setting up the routines and expectations inside our classroom. And we do that slowly. So take those exact same situations and then reteach it outside in your outdoor classroom. This is what circle looks like inside. Let's go practice it outside. This is what walking in the hallway looks like. Let's practice going on a nature walk. So we can make all of these parallel so it doesn't seem so daunting.
Just to build on that, yeah, like this whole idea of it's great to go outside, but also don't forget when you've gone outside to take the outdoors in so that it's not separate. And it's that continuation of the learning inside and out and outside and in.
Yeah, I love that, right? It's not, they're not in two different silos, right? There should be lots of overlap. You did also mention a little while back about this idea of equity and inclusion. And I know when I met you at the COEO conference back in the fall, you were such a inspiration about this topic. So I did want to make sure I had time to ask you about equity and inclusion and how your district really does ensure that learning opportunities outdoors are accessible for everybody, no matter where they're living, urban, suburban, rural.
Yeah, thanks for that question. And it's really frustrating to sit in rooms when we talk about outdoor learning, and there's a whole bunch of people that look like me, like old middle-aged white guys talking about going outside. We need to make sure that the outdoors is seen as a safe, welcoming, and inclusive place for everyone. In September, in the spring of 2023, the Toronto District School Board released an outdoor education equity toolkit looking at culturally responsive and practices. And we worked in partnership with our Urban Indigenous Education Center and Equity Department in making sure that we're taking a look at the conditions that are being presented for learning. This toolkit's available on our website publicly and can share that later on. And the idea isn't as a checklist. It's more of here are reflective questions for you to consider when you're choosing the different learning opportunities, the books you're choosing, the places you're going, the activities that you're doing. Where are the multiple entry points to make sure that students from different backgrounds, different abilities, feel a sense of belonging, and engagement in the work that they're doing?
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I'll make sure to add that link to the toolkit and under the podcast notes so that everybody can have access to that.
Great. And again, like we talked about earlier, about going outside into the local community where the students have voice and agency, it's that idea of centering the student, and making sure that their lived realities are reflected within the teaching that's happening.
Yeah, I love that. And actually now I want to dig into some more examples of those. So especially because right now that the time of year that we are publishing this episode, it is sort of in this dreary winter months where it might be difficult for some of us to get outdoors. It's dark, it's really frosty. I know for my context, because I'm at a school at the top of a mountain and I've got some physical accessibility issues. Our outside areas are quite sketchy at the moment. So we're trying to work around that. And I'm very happy that we've got so much blacktop surface, which most people usually don't think of as being a positive or engaging, exciting area to do outdoor learning. But right now, that's the best space for us because it's the safest. It's flat. We've got wire fencing, typical wire fencing, and we're using that as vertical learning surfaces to put paper up or our clipboards up so that, again, everybody has an option for different ways that they can write or do nature art. So in a long-winded way, what are some of the activities that your outdoor educators are going into schools and helping teachers engage in during these dreary sort of winter months?
So, a lot of different things. So, again, we're going to talk in two different ways. One is about the support to schools and what that classroom learning is going to look like. And then the other part's going to be around the outdoor education programs that go and visit the schools.
Perfect.
So, in terms of the outdoor education programming, Leadership team building can happen anywhere in any different time. And we engage in professional learning every year. In what are different activities that can be done in the outdoors? Working in teams, developing trust, getting to know your colleagues better is so important. And doing that through mapping activities, art activities. You talked about the wire fencing. You know, what amazing canvases for art in terms of looking at weaving and messaging. And you know, we talk about a climate crisis and that messaging to the public. Like, how do we use that as a medium and a canvas to put out to the community? What is so important to us? What do we care about? What can we do about moving forward? And doing this in a real positive way, I think is really important. When talking about climate and the environment, it's really easy to get into the doom and gloom. Let's talk about
Spiraling.
the little things that we can do and that are positive and moving forward. In terms of the support to schools and what every single classroom teacher can be thinking about during these months is, you know, we talked earlier about taking the outside in. You know, yesterday we had Tuesday, a couple days ago, a ton of snow in the morning and then 30 millimeters of rain afterwards. So, what an incredible way to talk about change of properties of matter, you know, and your science curriculum. You know, you're out west and talk about those atmospheric rivers that everyone in Canada now knows about, which is part of your reality, right? So harnessing what is happening in real time and taking it out. You know, if we wake up to 20 centimeters of snow tomorrow, I hope, you know, there's going to be teachers going out with their recycling bins and making cubes and creating structures and talking about area and perimeter and volume, food coloring in spray bottles with water and coloring on the snow. These are low impact, fun, engaging activities that shift and change depending on what's happening out there. Earlier, you talked about the resources and supports. What do we do in our system? In the TDSB, we support something called Get Outside Month. Every May, our department puts out a calendar worth of lessons, activities to support classroom teachers going outside. And over the last decade or more, each year we have a theme. Last year it was science and STEM because there was a new science curriculum in Ontario. The year before, math, there was a new math curriculum in Ontario. One was just get outside during COVID. We've done climate action, Indigenous land-based learning. Every year we have a theme and we partner with that department to make sure we're on point and on track of those messages that are going out as a system. But it is little tidbits for classroom teachers that can take that lesson and run with it, and really support getting outside.
That's incredible. I loved all of those ideas. Thank you. Are there any other highlights or specific success stories you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, I absolutely do. The Support to Schools initiative, we're in our third year of this. And the first 2 years, we were fortunate enough to work with our research department to really track the type of work that was happening. And we've put it together, there was a research report that was published and submitted, but some highlights that came out of that was we know that students, we asked the question, how do students feel about outdoor learning? And so some of the comments that we got back from the students were, I feel good because it feels better. Learning outside, we have more space, fresh air. It's better for us. That was from a student in a grade 6 and 7 class. Student noticed an improvement in their personal and interpersonal skills. A grade 4 or 5 student said, I feel like the way that we relied on each other and we trusted each other that worked. I felt very good about how we were playing today. how we were working together and how we worked as a team and our teamwork, and we weren't excluding. When we connect with nature and all the beautiful colors in the fall, like out of the mouths of babes, right? Like they tell you how it is.
Amazing.
So we know that students feel good about outdoor learning, but we also ask the educators, what are the benefits for taking learning outdoors? And so educators who provide students with increased learning opportunities said that they feel like they've been given permission to enjoy the outdoors with the class, and now they look for ways to get outside on a regular basis. And gaining new knowledge and skills, guiding through the planning of math-based activity, outdoor activities that never would have been considered in the past. And just another teacher, and I love this quote, "I feel happier outside, more connected to my students when we're outside and when we return from outdoor learning." So we talk about the mental health and well-being, we talk about the physical health and well-being. The natural environment, when we get outside of the four walls, provide those opportunities. And it's so easy to talk about barriers. And I had a superintendent ask me about that once, like, what school should we be selecting? Like, where are those great forests and outdoor classrooms and this, that, and the other? And I said, look, the only thing you need to be able to do outdoor learning is a willingness to walk across the threshold of that door. And if you're willing to do that and trust yourself, the learning opportunities are endless.
Absolutely. And I love ending on that note because I've spoken to so many incredible outdoor educators that live in the heart of a very busy city, Chicago. This teacher was telling me about literally doing outdoor learning on the top of the roof because that was the only area that they had to go explore. So it can be done. We just need to have a mindset that you were just describing. So that's incredible. What we love to ask all of our guests, many of the listeners know, is about a novelty nature note. So, for instance, right now with my learners, we are investigating how plants and trees adapt to survive during the winter months. So, we're not only learning about things like the bulbs and how they act sort of like time capsules, but how the bark protects the trees, and then in turn, the trees protect the cones, and the cones sort of use this modified scale system so that they're overlapping and protecting the inner layer, very similar to how the shingles on our rooftops work. So, can't wait to hear what your novelty nature note is.
Gardening is a big thing, and it's actually right inside the new revised science curriculum and food to table kind of stuff. So one thing that one of my staff shared with me is he asked me a question, and I'll ask it to you, Lauren. What do
All
you
right.
call the top of a pumpkin?
I assume the stem, but I have a feeling that's too obvious.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's exactly what I thought the top of a pumpkin was called. And I always thought when we are getting it ready for Halloween, cut out around the stem and clean out the guts. So no, the top of the pumpkin is called a peduncle.
Peduncle.
A peduncle. So there's, a little bit of science that can go into the next conversation in the garden. And what is the stem or the top of a pumpkin called? A peduncle.
Right, and very humorous. The kids will love hearing that.
And a fun word to say, absolutely.
Well, thank you everyone for listening. If you have any questions about today's episode, you can reach out to myself or directly to David. So, David, what's the best way for people to reach out to you?
Absolutely. So you can reach out to me on email, toes@tdsb.on.ca. So Toronto Outdoor Education Schools, Toes. We're also on X, toes_TDSB, some Instagram and Pinterest. We post some stuff on there. Not the most
Amazing.
recent, but there's some really great stuff. And please check out our website, schools.tdsb.on.ca/toes. It's a public website. We have tons of resources there for educators, for families. And most of it's completely public. What we create, we want to share as far as we can. Scream from the rooftops. Or the tops of trees, actually.
There you go. Well, thank you so much, David, for being here with us today.
Such a great opportunity. Thanks, Lauren. This is fun.
All right. Remember to check out the teachoutdoors.ca website to learn more about the new Nature Classroom podcast series, as well as information about how to book an author visit and nature workshop for your classroom. Well, that's it for today. Keep exploring, stay curious, and tune in for more adventures. And as always, I'll end with the song From the Trees by Brandon Grant.
I start on my paw. I look around to find a spot that I can call home for a while. Walking slowly, I feel so calm. I find a spot where nature opens up her arms for me to breathe. I see the stories I can learn from the trees, the feeling, the touch of gentle breeze, knowing the land around me brings me peace. Watching the world around me sets me free. I feel the sunshine kiss my skin. I hear all of the birds singing from within. I get familiar with my space. I now know how every part fits in every place for me to breathe. I see the stories I can learn from the trees, the feeling, the touch of gentle breeze, knowing the land around me brings me peace. Watching the world around me sets me. I go to visit in morning, in sunshine and the rain, to see what's different and notice the things that stay the same. I get to know my teacher, the spot that gives me health. To get to know the land is to get to know yourself. To breathe, I see the stories I can learn from the trees, the feeling, the touch of gentle breeze, knowing the land around me brings me peace. Watching the world around me sets me free.